All right, turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Before I begin, let me just give you these few words. In this chapter, David, that is the psalmist David, concludes with great relief and joy. I don't know that he always, I know that he did not always at all times feel this way. And the same goes for you and I. We're not going to always feel this way. But if we have been given life by God and converted through the gospel, we will at all times know this truth. And we'll know it with great relief and joy that we cannot surprise God. That's what David is teaching. One of the things David is teaching throughout this whole chapter,
yes, sir,
we cannot surprise God.
Exactly.
David also concludes with relief and joy that he, and the same is true for us, that he could not move ahead of God.
Exactly.
And I've already given the illustration probably over and over again, but one of the cases in point is Jonah. When Jonah ran what he thought was from God,
yeah,
he ran into God.
Exactly. Yep.
You see.
Yes, sir.
So while in Jonah's heart and mind, he was departing from the Lord. He was leaving God behind, wasn't he? That's what he was trying to do. But he did not leave God behind. Jonah found out God was where he was already. God's already where Jonah had planned ahead to. We cannot surprise God. We cannot move ahead of God. David would sum up it this way. Everywhere I turn, every thought I think, every deed I engage in, every fear I dread, David knows that he encounters God, and in writing this psalm, he joyfully surrenders with peace that God Almighty is in absolute control.
Yes, sir.
We don't always immediately surrender to this, because that would not be a surrender.
Exactly.
The fact is, even as is manifest through David's life, there are times when in our minds we stand against these things. How could this be?
Oh, yeah.
Or why is this happening?
Yes, sir.
Or why do I right now find myself in this present situation or circumstance? And yet, God always brings his people to surrender to the fact God is in absolute control.
Yes, sir.
David now affirms God's sovereignty clearly, that God is in direct control, or even was and is,
yeah,
in direct control of David's very creation. David exists as David because God created him that way. That's verses 13 and 14. We'll read it in a moment. Also, David affirms God's sovereignty clearly in God's direct control of his person. That's verse 15. And then David also affirms God's sovereignty clearly in that God Almighty is in absolute control of David's days. And let me just say, that's in verse 16. Let me just jump ahead, in a sense, and say, David here in this chapter, and in this verse, that's verse 16, is not simply talking about his length of days.
Yeah.
The King James Version, it's not a bad translation, but it leaves it a little bit, it lacks a little in the expressing the true Hebrew. In verse 16, it's almost, you know, God has a certain number of days for us to live. And that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But what David is actually saying is each day of my life and every circumstance in that day is ordained by God.
Yes, sir.
God doesn't just have a length of days and then we just make it to the end of it.
Yeah.
We're going through exactly what God Almighty ordained for us to go through in every moment of our lives. Paul basically said it this way, and he said it to even the unbeliever as well. But David is dealing mainly with himself and believers here. But Paul put it this way, in him we live and move and have our being.
Amen.
Now that's true of every man.
Yes, sir.
And as I've affirmed myself, God is sovereign over everyone.
Yes,
God's, as we looked at in the past several messages, God's omnipresence means God is everywhere. Mm-hmm. That includes reprobate and elect. But simply for a lack of a better word or phrase to describe it, God is with his people. God is omnipresent with his people in a special and different way than he is with the world in general, than the reprobate. Now let me just read these verses 13 through 18. And notice he says, for, he just come out, you know, the darkness and light are both alike unto thee. Remember, one of the prophets said, when I sit in darkness, God shall be a light unto me.
Yes, sir.
And then David says, for. Now he goes all the way back, not just in his present experience, but he goes all the way back and says, for thou hast possessed my reins. Now, stop a moment. You just think about that. If you possess the reins of something, what does that mean? It means you control it. You direct it. You know, we think of a horse and a rider, and he's got the reins. He possesses the reins. What does that rider do? He takes that horse in his direction, right?
Yes, sir.
For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb.
Yes.
Now, let me just go on. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. One, fearfully. God Almighty controls every part of my being,
yes,
including my essential organs.
Oh, yeah.
They function today because God Almighty is sustaining life in me today. I'm alive because God Almighty said so. I'm fearfully made. Any part of me, Joe, could shut down at any moment.
Oh, yeah.
But it will not unless God's ordained it to be so. And again, I say, any part of me could shut down at any moment. And if God's ordained it so, it will be so.
Yes, sir.
Now, does this mean that we then are to walk in some fatalistic style? Of course not. Of course not. But yet David is giving credit where credit is due. And that's what I'll probably spend most of the time this morning on. David is giving credit where credit is due. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Both.
Sure.
Both. The human body is an amazing thing.
Well.
The human brain is an amazing thing.
Yes, sir.
As I may talk about in some, in a very limited way. I mean, you know, we have all this stuff now about DNA and the genome. It's amazing.
Yes, sir.
Of what life consists of, and especially human life. Let me just throw this in here to you. I don't have the exact phrase or what it is. They say that we are like, 97, 98, 99% genetically equal to the apes.
Yeah.
What, you know, you've probably heard the numbers before.
Yeah.
And they think like, oh, what a discovery.
Yeah.
We're related to them. And I think, you idiots.
Yeah.
Our genetic makeup is so much like them, and yet we're so different. We're not just, whatever, if it's the 3%, 2%, whatever's left. Jay, we're more than just 2 or 3% different than the apes.
Exactly.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
So it lets us know it's more than the genome itself, ain't it?
That's right.
I mean, I know there's some men who have more hair than apes do, and some apes do. That's not the point. Ignorant scientists. Ignorant scientists. And I'm not even here to preach about that. I don't know how I got on that. Where was I at? Thou hast possessed my reins and hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Now think of David is saying this in light of everything about himself.
Yes, sir.
And that my soul knoweth right well. Now that's an amazing thing because very few people do. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. That is, David is saying, everything about my life was already written by God. It's recorded by God. It's ordained by God.
Yeah.
Even before it ever happened. God is not piecing this thing together. God's already purposed it, and so it shall be.
Yeah.
That's what David's saying. Even as yet there was none of them. And then he says, oh, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me.
Yeah.
Oh God, how great is the sum of them. Think about this, that God, the eternal God, who existed and exists eternally, full, complete, in and of himself, who needs nothing. He said, if I was even hungry, I wouldn't ask you.
Exactly.
Remember that the prophet who said that? If I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. God needs, is in need of nothing.
Exactly.
Thinks about us. Think about that. That's why David said, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Oh God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand.
Yes.
When I awake, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
When I awake, I'm still with thee.
Because
there's been a few nights, well, probably ought to be honest. We'll be more honest. Probably been many nights when we lay down our heads and we wonder, are we still with God? Do I have any part in God? Does God have any part in me? And yet in the morning, David, I'm still with him.
Amen.
Now let's begin with verse 13. Where David says, for thou has possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. To whom does David give credit? God. That's easy enough, right? No great theological reasoning needs to be argued into this. David is giving credit to his existence, or credit for his existence to God. Right? For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me, we'll look at that word, but he even said, in my mother's womb.
Yes.
David gives credit to God. But what does David give credit to God for? His very creation. His very existence. His literal existence. You know, some people have the idea God kind of takes care of the spiritual part, and we kind of in charge of the other part. Right? That's not so. That's not so. David is giving credit to where credit is due.
Yes.
When Paul wrote, salvation is by grace, he didn't say that simply trying to somehow be nice to God.
Yeah.
Well, at least we ought to at least tell God he's the one from whom grace comes. No, we must give God credit for grace because God deserves the credit.
Amen.
Then he says, for you created my inmost being. You see this? For you created, and that's what he's talking about. For thou hast possessed my reins. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together.
Yes, sir.
That's what we're talking about here. When you covered, you knit me together. Now that's amazing when you think of what makes up a human being.
Yeah.
You knit me together. That means you covered me. The word means to entwine.
Yeah.
To put things together and so wrap them that they become one thing.
Exactly.
Think of all we're made up of. They talk about the human DNA strand can stretch for like, how far is that?
Mm-hmm.
I forget, how far it would stretch if you could lay it out piece by piece. And yet, Mason, all of this is confined to this one being here. This one person, this one fleshly creature. It's all entwined right in here. As a matter of fact, all I am today, physically, everything you see, that you can see, flesh, bone, muscle, cartilage, blood, everything else was there in the womb.
Yes, sir.
It was there in the womb. But David's saying, you created, look at, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. The next verse proves this with full confirmation, because he says, I will praise my mother. Do I praise my mother and my father for my existence? Do I give credit to my mother and my father for my existence? No. Who do we give credit to? We give credit to God.
Amen.
I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully, there's the word created,
yeah,
made.
Amen.
Marvelous, he says, are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well.
Amen.
You know, most of our parents, truth be told, after we were born, they probably would have rather had somebody else. God, why'd you stick me with this one? You ever think that? See, the fact is, we do not choose who our children's going to be. They do a thing now, what's it called? This might be outdated. Might be a whole lot of other things they do now, I don't know, but in vitro fertilization, you know? And they can actually pick out a sperm or group of sperms to help the egg to put in within the egg to make it produce. But the point is, we can't choose what sperms exist. You see, we're not creating, as a man, I'm not creating the sperm. Women are not creating their own eggs and say, I'm going to make this egg. And the man says, I'm going to make this sperm. And we're going to put those two together and we will make what we want. We're not allowed that option, are we?
Yes, sir.
David says, I know this right well. You possess me.
Amen.
You possess my reins. You covered me. You entwined me together in my mother's womb. And that, you know, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And David says, I know this. Sadly, most people don't. You see, not only does man not give God praise for Christ, they don't even give God praise for themselves, the fact that they exist.
Yeah, exactly.
And I will briefly jump ahead and say this. As we see the whole of the context, and I'm going to kind of sum it up this way. I am Walter. Now the name in itself, I'm persuaded God, that my parents named me that name because that's the name God Almighty ordained for me to have. That I'm not discrediting them, not that even the name, but Walter is Walter. And I'm not Joe. Joe is Joe. And Joe's not David. David is David. He's not Elizabeth. We are individuals.
Yes, sir.
How what is it? Billions of us exist and have existed.
Oh, yeah.
And as we will look, there are certain things, even in identical twins, who have very uncanny commonalities.
Yeah.
In some twins, they even think the same way. They may even dress the same way on a certain day.
Yeah.
Okay? And they don't even, Mason, confer with one another. And yet one comes down with cancer and the other don't. Their genetic makeup is identical.
Yeah.
And yet one dies earlier than the other. Huh?
Yeah.
Why? Because God is.
Yes, sir.
That's why.
Amen.
That's why. Because God, he said, I am who I am because God ordained me to be this person. You are who you are because God ordained for you to be that person. And not only that, every experience you have had, are having, and will have in life is because God ordained to make you into the person he purposed for you to be.
Yes, sir.
I don't mean this to pick, just simply because they're here. And simply, since we're so small, I have very few choices to choose from. You know, if we had a large group of several thousand, I could just give generalities. It's hard to be general when you're in a group as small as ours is. But I think of Sasha and Damien. And I will tell you, I thank God that you're going to college. It's something that not everybody gets the option to have. And I'm here to tell you this morning, and this is truth is for all of us, that everything you're going through, whether you're one of God's or not, is God Almighty taking you down the path he's ordained for you to go down.
Amen.
Now, if you're one of his, that's to you too, and of course to the rest of us it still applies.
Yes, sir.
Everything we experience, even before we're converted, is for our benefit.
Yes.
And in some cases, it may be for the benefit of others as well.
Yeah.
The thing about it is, for say you two, or for any one of us, whether where you are, what you're going to, the job you have, the school you're going to, wherever you are in life, God is teaching you what he wants you to know. Not what I need to know.
Exactly.
But what you need to know.
Yes, sir.
Not what all we need to know, but what each individual needs to know according to God's own ordained purpose.
Yes, sir.
And as God takes us down these varying paths,
yeah,
of our own personal existence, okay, these things also are to our mutual benefit.
Yeah.
For instance, some of us here have been in the midst of false religion. We're brought up in it, embedded in it, partook of it. That has a purpose.
Yes, sir.
That has a purpose. But it also can benefit others, because when I see God working on them, and even while, Ellen, they're in the midst of that religion, and I see things beginning to happen, I can relate to that person. But if you've always been under the sound of the gospel, you may not can relate to that person. But I'm going to tell you this, I can't relate to what it's like to have been under the sound of the gospel all your life.
Exactly.
I can't relate to that. So there are others who are under the sound of the gospel. They've been under the sound of the gospel all of their life. And I can't relate to what they're going through in their unconverted state. And some of them, maybe even many, may have made false professions. Now, I can relate to a false profession, but my false profession was so evident in light of the truth of God.
Yeah.
I had a false profession, and I falsely professed the false gospel.
Exactly.
But there are people who have falsely professed the true gospel.
Exactly. That's
and it. Some of you can relate to that.
Yeah.
I mean, not all of us were drunks before God saved us, were we? Not all of us were. Some of us might have been. But a person who's been there can relate. You know, that's what I'm saying. A person who's been. We are who we are for God's own sovereign ordination in the carrying out of his purpose in this world right now through the church. You were born who you are because God Almighty said so.
Yes, sir.
Now those who find comfort in the sovereign God, and we're talking now still about comfort in our sovereign God. This is our creation. Those who find comfort in the sovereign God know by the Spirit, by the Scripture, combined with experience, they know far more than the infidel. The infidel, at times, Mason, they may get a glimmer of light. And we know that Paul said, even the heavens declare the glory of God.
Yes, sir.
You know. And there are some people who don't give even a lip credit to Christ as their Redeemer, but they still acknowledge God Almighty you know, a God, a creator, David, who created everything. And let me tell you, while that will not redeem their souls, that's still a good thing.
Yes, sir.
Still a good thing. And now we will look at it later, but you remember Jeremiah. God said, I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations, even when you was in your mother's womb.
Amen.
Remember that?
Yes, sir.
So am I to think then that God said, all right, I ordain you in your mother's womb, but now once he's born, everything's kind of floating along willy-nilly until God finally converts Jeremiah, sends him out as a prophet. Now God's all of a sudden in control again. No, God was in control, teaching Jeremiah what he wanted Jeremiah to know the whole thing, the whole way. The Apostle Paul said it quite clear. As I said, we'll look at it in more detail later. You know, God separated me from my mother's womb. Now, that doesn't mean when I was born I come out. He's talking about from the time I was in my mother's womb, I was separated by God.
Yes, sir.
To preach his gospel. But that ain't the way Paul began, was it?
Exactly.
Paul sat at the feet of one named Gamaliel. I may not be pronouncing that exactly right. But let me say this. All of that training Paul had, God Almighty had ordained it.
Yes, sir.
And I figure that man, Paul the Apostle, knew more about the facts of the law than most every other person did.
Yes,
he
sir.
Said, when I was young, I exceeded many of my equals. Right?
Oh, yeah.
But who did he give? He said, well, I was good. Huh? No, he gave credit to God.
Amen.
Did he not? That's what I was saying to Sasha, to Damien, to all of us. No matter where you are, we ought to give credit to God. It may preserve your life.
Yes, sir.
You remember Herod, don't you?
Yeah.
Herod got up and orated. In other words, he blowhearted. Mm-hmm. Bragging on himself and his kingdom. Oh. You know, all he'd done. And the people thought, man, he's like a god. Mm-hmm. We're in the presence of a god.
Yeah.
And he didn't give God credit. And what does the scripture say God done? He killed him.
Yes, sir.
Worms ate him.
That's right.
And he died. The worms eat him before he died. That don't sound too pleasant, does it? You see, all men ought to give credit to God. You ought to thank God. It's fine for me to be proud of anyone here for where you are, what you've done in life, how you've been a decent human being. You know what I mean? But we got to give credit to God.
Yes, sir.
And then, the hard thing is, what about David? Will you give credit to God for Saul, the king? You better.
Yes, sir.
That's the only reason why David could have reacted towards Saul the way he reacted.
Yeah.
And not killed Saul straight out when he had the chance.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because this is true. What we're reading here is true.
Yes, sir.
It's true of every man. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Arizona, what's his name? Shimei? Chunking rocks, cursing David? And one of his buddies said, I'll take his head off. And he would have done it. And David said, no. He couldn't have cursed me lest God gave him the words to curse me.
Yeah.
Huh? The very breath that man had to curse David. God gave him that breath, David. God gave it to him. You see, those who find comfort in the sovereign God know by the Spirit, the Scripture combined with experience, they know far more than the infidel. They give credit to their existence to God, not to procreation.
Yeah.
Now, David acknowledges procreation,
mm-hmm.
right? For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. So David's not denying procreation, but David gives credit even in procreation to the Creator,
Amen.
God. Procreation, I don't care what Webster or Wagnalls and Funkinator says. It doesn't matter to me. Procreation doesn't mean that the man and the woman are creators. They're not. They're not creators. David gives credit to his existence, not to procreation, but rather to God's direct action.
Yes.
And again, I say it's more than just, well, God's sovereignly purposed for me to be born, then God kind of, I'm kind of just floating around there until some day of conversion. if I'm one of the elect, or till maybe the final judgment if I'm one of the reprobate. No, God Almighty has written my days in His book.
Yes, sir.
Every one of them. Now let me say, give you a couple things here. We do not deny procreation. But we give credit to God. We give credit to God and God alone for anything that is created, whether directly created by God or procreated through a man and a woman by God. God gets all the credit.
Yes, sir.
We don't deny procreation, but we give God all the credit. All life comes from God. I don't care if it's human life, animal life, or plant life. God gives it life. And God kills it when God's pleased to kill it.
Oh, yeah.
You remember, now I know it has far more meaning to it, but you remember that time when our Lord found that one, was it a fig tree? He looked for some fruit on that fig tree, and what did He do? He killed it,
Yeah. Didn't
He? That's His prerogative.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because He's the one that gave it life.
That's right.
Whatever life it is, if it's life at all, God Almighty gave it the life. He's the Creator. So I said, we don't deny procreation, but we give credit to God the Creator for all existence. Think also of this. We do not deny man's will. But we are forced by the truth to give credit only to God's will.
Yes,
some people say, well, you folks don't believe man has a will. Oh no, we believe he's got a will.
Yeah.
The problem is, it's bent wholeheartedly toward evil.
Exactly.
That's his problem. It ain't that he ain't got a will. It's the fact that the will that he has is at enmity against God. We don't deny man's will. We credit God's will only, whether it's in birth, whether it's in living, or whether it's in salvation.
Sir.
We don't will that our children lived, did we? How many women have tried to conceive and cannot?
Yeah.
Will never conceive. How many women have conceived and not brought that child full term? And that child die in the womb.
Yeah.
Now that's something that I cannot imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something that's beyond even my comprehension, because I will never experience that. I just never will. To have that life in you and it die, and it's got to come out of there some way or another.
Yes,
that's not a pleasant thought, is it? Other women have conceived a child, bore it full term, and that child died in birth. And you just go right on down the line. You know? Conceived, give birth to a child, and it live a very short life, or even a longer life. That life be full of pain and misery and suffering and even unbelief. Is that what we would choose for our own? Huh? Is it? Not what I would choose for my children. I have a will. I know what I want, Mason. But that ain't what matters.
Exactly.
What matters is God's will. That's why I am forced. Now, I know some people don't like the word, but it's still a fact. That's why I'm forced to give God credit for everything. Because while I have a will, it's not my will that determines anything.
Exactly.
Whether it's in birth, whether it's in living, or whether it's in salvation.
Yeah.
That's included as well. I mean, Paul's quite clear. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Now, what's the it? It's the preceding verse. The election, the calling, the grace, all of it. It does not depend upon a man's will. Why? Because he doesn't have one? No, he's got one.
Oh, yeah.
But man's will is opposed to God's will. If it was up to our will, it'd be a whole lot different world. And one reason why it would be a whole lot different world is because we are so self-centered, we would have the world turn around us.
Oh, yeah.
No, let me make it different. I would have the world turn around me.
Yeah.
And you would have the world turn around you, and therefore me and you would be in constant conflict.
Yeah.
We could not be at any time together. Except it be to take out a third or fourth party.
Yeah.
And then us settle our differences later.
Exactly.
At best, that's what we'd do.
Oh, yeah.
No, we don't deny procreation. We don't deny man's will. But we give credit to everything that happens to God Almighty.
Amen.
That's the only reason Joseph could say, when he was down and them brethren came down there, listen, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good.
Yes, sir.
See, what they did was bad.
Oh, yeah.
That was unrighteous.
Yes, sir.
Jay, that was ungodly. That was wicked. But God's will is supreme.
Amen.
God's will is supreme. The unbelieving world wants to separate these things. Well, I know maybe I was born by the sovereign will of God. I didn't even exist then, but I'm alive now. You never heard of them say I'm a free creature? That's one of the most blinded statements anyone could ever make.
You're right.
We're not a free creature. One, we're in bondage to sin,
yes,
by
sir.
Nature. And then two, we are God's creation. Mm-hmm. Reprobate or elect, it doesn't matter. You know, Scripture says God can do with His own as He will. He ain't just talking about the elect.
Yeah.
God owns everything and everybody, lock, stock, and barrel. He does with them as He pleases. So the unbelieving world wants to separate these things. They want to sometimes even deny God's sovereign will and His sovereign work. But it's just not a valid argument. Men may argue against God, but it is to of no effect against God. It's only to their ill effect. And there are other illustrations of this. There's some good ones, some bad ones. I gave you one, Herod. I mean, Herod should have, when these people praised him, he should have said, you know what? God Almighty put me where I am.
Yes, sir.
God Almighty's given me the wisdom I have. All that training, Mason, that I had brought up and to be able to stand in this place, God Almighty brought me there. He should have honored God.
Yes, sir.
He didn't. He died. Now, there are thousands, no doubt millions, who do the same thing. But God still lets them live.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
You see, God is sovereign. Now we're getting over into the judgment part, which David talks about as well.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, the whole point is not man's will determines nothing but his own stupidity.
Exactly.
When he thinks his will determines something.
Exactly.
That's all. It just determines how stupid a man really is when he thinks, I will this. Preacher gave an illustration this one day. Well, I have a free will. I had two kinds of breakfast cereal in my cabinet, and I chose one over the other. No, you didn't. You just think you did.
Exactly.
Whatever you eat or did not eat this morning, if you did not eat or if you did, and what you did eat, God Almighty ordained it.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Somebody said, well, I've eaten all the right things, and I'm alive today. Who determined what you eat?
Yeah.
Who determined what you have? Again, I say, in Him we live and move and have our being. You see, most people think that what we're teaching is fatalism, but it's not fatalism. We're saying everything is this, cause and effect. Cause and effect. There is an effect to every cause. There are secondary causes. But let me say this, God Almighty is the cause.
Amen.
He's the first cause of everything else, whether it's a secondary, third cause, or whether it's the effect.
That's right.
Let me give you a quote here. The Bible does not exercise itself to deny chains of causation, but equally, it is not accustomed to clog up its reasoning by giving them undue prominence. Now, I like that. You can put that on procreation. It doesn't deny procreation, but David's not boggling his mind up or clogging things up. But well, now who really gets credit? Because God gets credit.
Amen.
I know that right well.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because it's not up to us.
Exactly.
Not a one of us has ever determined anything.
That's it.
If we ever thought we wanted something to happen and it happened, it had nothing to do with us thinking it. It had to do with the fact that God ordained it.
Yeah.
even our thoughts are allowed or directly brought about by God.
Yes, sir.
So again, the Bible does not exercise itself to deny chains of causation, but equally it is not accustomed to clog up the reasoning by giving them undue prominence. It leaps back directly to the divine agent from whom all things and by whose will they happen. That's a good statement.
Yes.
It's basically summed up by Paul this way. Here's the scriptural declaration of it. Colossians, if you want to turn and read it with me. Colossians chapter 1, where Paul talks about Jesus Christ, God's Son, right? The one who in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The one into whose kingdom we've been translated, right? And then look at what he says in verse 16. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, or dominions, or principalities. And that word principality, no matter how you want to try to define it in particular, it always has to do with the negative things.
Yeah.
And usually it has to do with ungodly, unrighteous things.
Yeah.
Even down to the demonic spirits.
Yes, sir.
Remember, God created the angels.
Exactly.
And God chose that certain angels not fall.
Yeah.
And God purposed that other angels would fall.
Yeah.
Even the angels. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things. That's why He is the Creator.
Yes, sir.
He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And I like, you may like that word, but I like the word, and it's equally valid translation. By Him all things are held together.
Yes, sir.
They consist.
Yeah.
And not just held together, but each piece that is holding, working in there, He's the one that's got it, you see.
Yes, sir.
And that's why He goes on to say He has the preeminence.
Exactly.
You see, procreation is not the first cause. No female creates her own egg. I say created. Because if I could create it, I could create the one I wanted. Right?
Exactly. Yeah.
I could discard the ones I didn't want and keep the one I do want. We can't do that, can we? Whatever we have, where does that come from? Where does that power come from when some people don't have it? Right?
Exactly.
No female creates her own egg. No male creates his own sperm. Some people are barren. And I say it this way for the sake of art. They have no choice.
Exactly.
If I want to have a kid, I want to. If you're a creator, you can say that.
Yeah.
If you're not a creator, you can't. Can you? Well, I'm going to create one. God may kill it in the womb. Right?
Well,
I'm going to create one. I'm going to make sure that one's born. He may kill in his birth. It's God's business, you see. It's God's business. Even the process of conception and fetal development is accredited by David to God.
Amen.
Right here.
Yes, sir.
In this psalm. Conception and fetal development is accredited to God Himself. Remember what Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away.
Yes.
And most people, I think they like to think, well, Job lost all his cows and his land, or his cows and his sheep. He lost his kids too.
Yes, sir.
All in, there was a bunch of them. It was a 14? That's a lot of kids to lose, and lose them all in one foul swoop.
Yes, sir.
And kids that you got some doubts about.
Yeah.
Because remember, they got together to have a party.
Yeah.
They're going to have them a shindig. And what did Job say? I best offer sacrifice for them.
Yeah. That's right.
Huh? Job was expecting not the best out of them, was he?
Exactly.
The worst out of them. And God killed them. God killed them. That gives a whole new meaning to the Lord gave, the Lord takes away, don't it? That's why He said the Lord gave. That's why He can take away, Mason. He has the right.
Yes,
if He's not the creator, then he has no right.
Yeah.
But since he is the creator, he has all the right.
Amen.
So even the process of conception and fetal development, the psalmist David accredits to God. The psalmist here confesses that he is who he is, and all of that, God gets the credit. Even our innermost being came from God, right? For thou hast possessed, that means created, that's the word. For thou hast possessed my reins. The reins is literally the kidneys. An essential organ. Figuratively, it's used of the mind or the inner self. Think of it. David is saying that even his personal spirit or psyche, I'm not talking about the spirit as we think of man has a spirit, I'm talking about his personal psyche, who David is, was created by God so that his capacity to perceive as he perceived, to think as he thought, and to feel as he felt, and to even react as he reacted, has God as its source.
Yes, sir.
David is, basically, and I've already said it, David is David.
That's right.
And he ain't nobody else.
Amen.
And let me just give you this, and we'll look at it more later. I told you this. You know, they've studied about the human genome. Well, I seen a show, a documentary the other day about the human genome. And now they have, it may have been for some time, but we also have within us what's called the epigenome. Have you heard of this? And in that epigenome, certain things, I don't know if they are certain kind of chemical, whatever they are, but they can turn certain cells on and off. And if these little things come and get upon certain places in that epigenome, it causes certain things to happen or not to happen. Now, the whole thing of the show was they're trying to figure out, why does this work?
Yeah.
How does it work?
Yeah.
They found a couple causes, but I'm here to declare that those at best are only secondary causes.
Exactly.
This is why you can have, and they said, this is why you can have two, and I guess they're called identical twins. Okay? Two females or two males. And they're identical. And yet one come down with cancer and the other not. Because these things mysteriously either plug or unplug themselves.
Yeah.
And it has nothing to do with the genome itself.
Exactly.
So see, this ain't just something that's just kind of working alone. There's somebody manipulating this stuff, folks.
Yes, sir.
Hey, somebody plugging and unplugging stuff.
That's right.
And they're in control of the plug and the plug that the plug goes into.
Exactly.
It's amazing. You see, now that study would be marvelous if they were searching out the works of God.
Yeah.
But they're trying to discredit God as the creator by their very subject, by their very studies. And all it does is confirm to me, God's up there in control. Here you got two identical twins. They dress alike, even on the same day, without even calling one another on the phone, and yet one of them ends up with kidney cancer, you know, or heart trouble, and the other doesn't.
Exactly.
You know who we have to cry out in control of that? God is.
Yes, sir.
And let me sum it up this way. I know if you know Christ, and you know yourself, you're ashamed of yourself. Huh? Just like Job had to say, I repent in sackcloth and ashes. I abhor myself.
Yes,
there's
sir.
A place for that. There's also a place of thanking God for who you are.
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? Now, let's never let's say, well, one part's God and the other part's the devil. It's God. It's God. If God's pleased to use the devil, that's God's business. You know? But it all boils down to God Almighty is sovereign. And His people can find comfort in that.
Yes,
because I'm glad to know I ain't in control of it. Because
exactly.
I'd screw it up.
Yeah.
I've had too much experience. I screw up even the stuff I'm not in control of.
Yeah.
I'm not even in control of anything, Jane. I still screw stuff up. How much more if I was in control of it? Exactly. This world would be a mess if we were in control. You know that?
Yeah.
It would be nothing but chaos and anarchy if we were in control. That's all it would be, chaos and anarchy. But thank God it's not.
Amen.
Even though we might say it's not. In God's purpose and in this world, there is no true chaos. And while there can be anarchy, it's only because men rebel against those that God and those things that God has put in authority. That's why. You see, what does it say? Even the wicked, God made even them. What? For the day of evil. And I know most people think of that as eternity, judgment. But it's the day of evil. The day of evil is all around us.
Yes,
right? Paul told us to redeem the time. Why? Because the days are evil.
That's right.
Now, does that mean that we just sit back and say, all right, whatever's going to happen is going to happen? Well, that's stupid. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Yeah.
You know? It's going to happen if it's going to happen.
Yeah.
No, what are we to do? We are to pray unto God Almighty. Not that He will control things. He don't need us praying that He control things. It's God, give me the wisdom to remember that.
Yeah.
Because it's when we forget that that we find ourselves miserable.
Yeah, exactly.
It's when we forget it. That's when we're miserable. You remember, see, our Lord was miserable at times. In a human speech. I mean, people hurt Him.
Oh, yeah.
You know? They angered Him. But His problem was not Him. And His problem wasn't God. His problem was us.
Yeah.
All right? It was us. Our Lord was perfectly content even when He was aggravated with us, in that He was content knowing this is God's sovereign purpose. Right?
Yes, sir.
The reason we don't do that is because we're not like Him.
Oh, yeah.
We're so much unlike Him. And even when He did it, He didn't stand up and boast about it. Most of the time, even when we hear His prayers, Mason, they were private prayers. When He prayed, Lord, not Your will but mine, He wasn't bragging this in front of the disciples even, was He? They were over yonder, weren't they? He was over by Himself. Usually when we think we've done pretty good, we want somebody to know. Well, boy, I really surrendered to the Lord in that one. And then we got to go tell somebody how we surrendered to the Lord. No, what we ought to say is, God surrendered me. God brought me down. And that's what He usually does. It's not a matter of us cooperating with God. This is a matter of God bringing us down. Father, I pray that we may have been and still be instructed, that we'll be taught of Thy Spirit through Thy Word. I pray it in Christ's name. Amen.